الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أيها الأخوة في الله، يسرنا أن نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ عبد الرب الشلفيق أبو وفير حفظه الله تعالى في هذا الدرس الأسبوعي في شرح الرسالة التبوكية لشيخ الإسلام ابن القيم رحمه الله. بيتكم الشيخ مشكورا مشكورا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فما زلنا معكم أيها الإخوة في قراءة رسالة ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى التبوكية. قال رحمه الله تعالى: فصل. فهذا حكم العبد فيما بينه وبين الناس، وهو أن تكون مخالطته لهم تعاون على البر والتقوى علما وعملا. وهذا الذي أشار إليه رحمه الله في رسالته، وتوجيه رب العالمين الذي أمر به ورسم للعباد الطريق الذي يسلكه الإنسان عند مخالطته للناس ليحمي دينه وينفع الله به. أن تكون مخالطة الإنسان للمجتمع، أن تكون غايته في ذلك أن يكون متعاونا معهم على البر والتقوى. ثم قال: وأما حاله فيما بينه وبين الله تعالى فهو إيثار طاعته وتجنب معصيته، وهو قوله تعالى: واتقوا الله. لأن غالب اختلاط الإنسان بالناس لابد أن يحصل له من أن يرى عند مخالطته للناس يحذر أن يؤثر مرضات الناس على مرضات الله، ولا يتنازل عن دينه وأخلاقه وعقيدته، بل يكون هو معهم آمرا ناهيا مقدما أمر الله عز وجل. ولهذا قال تعالى: واتقوا الله، أي عند مخالطتكم للناس تكونون متعاونين معهم على البر والتقوى. واتقوا الله، أي راقبوا الله وتجنبوا ما يغضبه. وواجبه بينه وبين الحق. أما واجبه بينه وبين العباد وبين الخلق، وهو أمرهم بالمعروف ونهيهم عن المنكر والتعاون معهم على البر والتقوى. وسبق ما يشمله كلمة البر والتقوى من معان، وأشارت أيضا الآية إلى الواجب الذي بين العبد وبين الحق وهو الله عز وجل، وهو أن يقدم ما يرضي رب العالمين على ما يرضي الخلق، فيقدم أمر الله على أمر الناس ويقدم رضا الله على رضا الناس. فمخالطته لهم لا تسقطه مع وإلا هلك. فيحذر المسلم في مخالطته للناس ويسير على هذا المسلك الرباني الذي رسمه الله لمن أراد أن يخالط الناس. قال: ولا يتم له أداء الواجب الأول وهو التعاون على الناس إلا بعزل نفسه من الوسط والقيام بذلك لمحض النصيحة والإحسان ورعاية الأمر، أن يعزل نفسه عن الناس. ولكن يكون مخالطته معهم لأداء النصيحة والإحسان إلى الخلق، لا يكون مخالطته ابتغاء مصلحة دنيوية لنفسه، وإنما النصيحة والإحسان إلى الخلق ورعاية الأمر الذي أمر الله به، ولا يتم له أداء الواجب الثاني وهو أداء حق الله إلا بعزل الخلق من البيت والقيام به لله إخلاصا ومحبة وعبودية، أي لا يتم له أداء حق الله إلا بعزل نفسه عن الخلق، فلا يخالطهم دوما، لأن مخالطة الناس غالبا ما يأتي منها نقص الدين والإيمان، ويكون مؤديا حق الله إخلاصا لله ومحبة لله وأداء للعبودية التي خلق لأجلها الخلق. فينبغي التفطن لهذه الدقيقة التي كل خلل يدخل على العبد في أداء هذين الواجبين إنما هو من عدم مراقبة وعملا. الإنسان لا بد وأن يختلط مع الناس من أرحامه ومجتمعه وجيرانه ووسط عمله، فلا بد أن يراعي هذه القاعدة الشرعية لأداء النصيحة والإحسان للخلق، ويراعي حق الله في جميع الأحوال، حيث أنه في المخالطة لا بد أن تقع بعض النواقص وبعض المعاصي، فيجب عليه أن يراعي حق الله، لا يداهن ولا يرائي ولا يتنازل عن حقوق الله الشرعية، وإلا هلك مع الناس. وما يأتي الخلل في دين الإنسان ودنياه إلا بعدم مراعاة قاعدة الشرعية علما وعملا، يعلمها ويعمل لتحقيقها. ثم قال رحمه الله، وهذا هو معنى قول الشيخ عبد القادر قدس الله روحه: كن مع الحق بلا خلق، ومع الخلق بلا نفس، ومن لم يكن كذلك لم يزل في تخبط أو في تخبيط، ولم يزل أمره فرطا. أي أنك تكون مع الله بلا مراعاة أمر الخلق، إنما ولا تنظر إليهم، إنما يكون نظرك لله عز وجل. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. كن مع الخلق بلا خلق، أي دون أن تنظر إلى حالهم ودون أن تنظر إلى مراعاتهم، إنما تنظر لوجه الله وحده، تستعين بالله وحده، وتعبد الله مخلصا له وحده، وتكون مع الخلق بلا نفس أي بلا روح، تكون جسدك معهم وإنما قلبك وروحك متعلقة بالله، تنظر إلى مرضاة الله، تحب في الله وتبغض في الله. ومن لم يكن كذلك لم يزل في تخبيط، أي يتخبط في حياته الدينية والدنيوية، ولم يزل أمره فرطا أي في خسارة وضياع، ونسأل الله السلام. فهذا الكلام الدقيق من الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى كلام عظيم، ينبغي للمسلم أن يراعيه لتصلح حاله ويصلح دينه ويحافظ على دينه. ثم قال رحمه الله: والمقصود بهذه المقدمة ذكر ما بعدها، أي أن المقصود من إرادة الطويلة التي ذكر فيها هذه القواعد الشرعية هو ذكر ما بعدها مما سيأتي في كلامه رحمه الله في حال الإنسان وهجرته إلى الله وفي غربته وفي سفره في هذه الدنيا، أن راعي هذه القواعد لينجو في هذه الدنيا في مسيره إلى الله في هجرته إلى الله، فإن حاله لا تصلح إلا بمراعاة هذه القواعد في رحلته إلى وطنه الأول، حتى لا يخسر وطنه الأول الذي أخرج منه وهو الجنة، فإن وطننا الأول هو وطن أبينا آدم الذي أخرج منه عقوبة لأن الشيطان أغواهم، فخرجنا من دارنا الأول ليختبرنا الله عز وجل حتى نعود إلى وطننا الأول، ونحن في هذه الدنيا مسافرون إلى وطننا الأول، نحن في حال سفر لنعود إلى وطننا الأول، لكي تعود إلى وطنك الأول سالما غانما عليك أن تراعي هذه القواعد الشرعية، وإلا خسرت الوطن الذي تعود إليه، ربما وطنك الأول ربما يكون رجوعك إلى النار والعياذ بالله، نسأل الله السلامة. فهذا كلام عظيم من ابن القيم في رسالته هذه، نسأل الله أن يعيننا وإياكم على العلم والعمل والفقه في دين الله، وأن يبقينا في هذه الحياة سالمين غانمين متمسكين بديننا حتى الموت، لنلتقي مع محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في جنات النعيم عندما نعود إلى دارنا الأول ووطننا الأول. لهذا قال في بداية الفصل القادم الذي سيكون، التي هذه المقدمة هي ذكر ما بعدها، المقصود من هذه المقدمة ذكر ما بعدها، قال: لما فصلت عير السيف واستوطن المسافر دار الغربة وحيل بينه وبين مألوفاته وعوائده المتعلقة بالوطن ولوازمه، أحدث له ذلك نظرا آخر فأجال فكره في أهم ما يقطع به منازل سفره إلى الله وينفق فيه بقية عمره، فأرشده من بيده الرشد إلى أن أهم شيء يقصده إنما هو الهجرة إلى الله ورسوله، فإنها فرض عين على كل أحد في كل وقت، وأنه لا انفكاك لأحد من وجوبها، وهي مطلوب الله ومراده من العباد. إذ الهجرة هجرتان: هجرة بالجسم من بلد إلى بلد، وهذه أحكامها معلومة وليس المراد الكلام فيها، والهجرة الثانية هجرة بالقلب إلى الله ورسوله، وهذه هي المقصودة هنا، وهذه هجرة هي الهجرة الحقيقية وهي الأصل، وهي هجرة الجسد، وهجرة الجسد تابعة لها، وهي هجرة تتضمن من وإلى. ثم ذكر، أخذ يفصل الهجرة إلى الله بعبادته، والهجرة إلى رسوله باتباعه، ونفر إلى الله حتى نعود إلى وطننا الأول، ونسأل الله لنا ولكم التوفيق والسداد والإعانة والرشاد، ونواصل في درسنا القادم إن شاء الله تعالى، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
زين أبو الشيخ عبد الله المصرفيق الضفيري حفظه الله تعالى. Continuing his weekly class and explanation of الرسالة التبوكية Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. Shaykh began praising Allah Azza wa Jal, invoking the salat salam upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said that Allah Azza wa Jal, Rabbul Alameen, has guided his servants towards the principles that must be taken into consideration when dealing with one another and intermingling with the people. And all of that was mentioned in the previous lessons, the previous classes, and how the rule of when dealing with other people, taking into consideration that we must be working with one another upon bir and taqwa, cooperating with one another on bir and taqwa. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, he went on to say in the following chapter, concerning the aforementioned, this is the ruling of the servant concerning him and the people around him, that he must intermingle with them in a manner in which he is cooperating with them upon bir and taqwa, both in principle and in practice. As for his condition regarding what is between him and Allah Ta'ala, then he must give precedence to obedience to Allah, and he must avoid disobedience to him. And this is what is dealt with in the ayah, following the command for cooperating with one another upon bir and taqwa. Allah says after that, wattaqullah, and have taqwa of Allah. The Sheikh said, commenting on this portion of the text, that we previously looked at the rules that govern how we must interact with the people around us in society, and how in order for a person to be successful and in order to protect his deen, he must interact with those around him in society upon cooperation in bir and taqwa. And there's no doubt that when the person is in society and dealing with other people and mixing with others, he is going to come across those who disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. When this happens, what is the obligation that the person has when he comes across people who are disobeying Allah? The believer must give precedence to obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal and not ever back down when it comes to anything from his deen or his values and his ethics. He must always give precedence to what is pleasing to Allah and never try to please the people in society at the expense of angering his Lord. For certainly, when the person seeks the pleasure of people and sacrifices the pleasure of Allah, he will perish. And so the servant must always follow that path which Allah has drawn and explained for his servants. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala went on to say, this ayah leads us or guides us to remembering what is the obligation upon the servant with regards to that which is between himself and the creation, and his obligation between himself and Al-Haq, the creator, the truth. So this ayah, commanding us to have cooperate with one another upon bir and taqwa, not to cooperate on sin and transgression, and to have fear of Allah and have taqwa of Allah, it shows us the obligation upon us at all times, when we're with others and when we're with simply ourselves, but carrying out the obligations that Allah has placed on us. So these are obligations. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, never can a person fulfill the first obligation except by isolating himself or isolating his own nafs and removing himself and his own benefit, and then by giving pure nasiha and pure ihsan, looking at this obligation. So this was dealing with the first obligation, that is how to deal with people. The Author rahimahullah was saying that a person cannot fulfill the obligation upon him that governs how he deals with other people, except that he forgets about his own nafs and his own self and his own benefit and looks at others and gives precedence to them and their needs and gives nasiha to them and goes out of his way to be at the service of others, to command others to do good and forbid others from doing wrong. He went on to say, that is Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, and never will a person perform the second obligation upon him, that is his obligation towards Allah, except by isolating himself from the creation at times and standing before Allah with ikhlas and sincerity, love and servitude. So these are the two paths. When it's necessary to deal with people, to give nasiha to them, to command them with the good, to forbid them from the evil. But because in interacting with others, there's bound to be some element of disobedience of Allah. That's going to happen when we interact with others. We have to try to withdraw ourselves from the other people and direct ourselves towards the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So to the extent possible, a person should attempt to withdraw himself from the people. And to the extent necessary, that he must deal with people, he should be giving them nasiha. And when he deals with people, he should be looking at their best interests and looking out for them, trying to give ihsan to them and nasiha to them. Not that he is simply dealing with others and looking for his own personal interests. That's his attitude when he's dealing with others. He's not performing the obligation placed upon him by his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh rahimahullah said, also, we must know that when a person is interacting with others and intermingling with others, most times he is going to come across situations and individuals where he's going to have some deficiency in the practice of his deen. And he's going to be exposed to things which decrease his iman. So when a person is keeping family ties and visiting his relatives, when he's going out of his way to be at the service of his neighbors, when he's interacting and buying and selling and trading with the people around him in his community, he must always have in front of him these two obligations placed on him. When it is necessary to interact with others, he must have the attitude of giving nasiha to them, commanding them with the good and forbidding them from the evil, and being at their service, giving them ihsan. And because part of this process, when he's doing that, serving others and trying to be kind towards others, he's going to come across situations, individuals that decrease his deen. And he's going to come across scenarios where people are disobeying Allah. He must always keep in mind his obligation towards his Lord, first and foremost, and never back down when it comes to his deen, his values, and compromise for the sake of pleasing other people. He must always give precedence to the rights of Allah. And it's only because of failing to keep in mind one of these two obligations, one's obligation towards the Creator or the creation, that people come across these deficiencies in their deen. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah goes on to say, so it's befitting for a person to pay attention to this. Because this is a very subtle matter. And every deficiency that comes in a person's path regarding their deen is because of a shortcoming in one of these two obligations. The obligation towards the Creator, the obligation towards the creation. And it's either because he is failing to keep in mind, in principle, or in practice, his obligation in these two regards. He goes on to say, rahimahullah, and this is the meaning of the statement of a Sheikh Abdul Qadir, may Allah bless his soul, when he said, be with al-haq, that is Allah Azza wa Jal. Be with al-haq, without the khalq. Be with Allah, not the people. And be with al-khalq, be with the creation, be with the people, with no nafs. And whoever is not like that, then his affairs are going to be all mixed up. And he will continue to be in a state of loss. Essentially, Sheikh commented, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, on this statement, saying essentially, what he was getting at was that a person should try to keep away from the people, simply worshipping Allah when possible, but because it's necessary to interact with others, to be with them physically, but for one's spirit to be connected to Allah, remembering Allah, as if all of their affairs, and it's always at the forefront of their thoughts, that whatever they do is for Allah. As we read in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Say, certainly, my prayer, my sacrifice, my life and my death are for Allah. He has no partner. With this I have been commanded, and I am the first of those who submit to him. So essentially, the reminder here is to always be cognizant of Allah, to always be seeking after the pleasure of Allah, to always be seeking after seeing the majestic face of Allah. And even when one has to be physically present with other people, he shouldn't be spiritually present with them. Rather, he should be with Allah. Not operating with the people who he's physically around according to their rules. Rather, operating with them according to the rules of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. This observation, Shaykh Abdullah says, Hafidhahullah, by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, this is a very precise observation, a very valuable reminder, and how the person is to go about interacting with those around him on a daily basis. And all of this, all of what has been mentioned in these six classes, the explanation of this treatise, this was only an intro to what's coming next. So this was only a reminder for the real meat of the subject, which is to come. That is, that a person throughout their life is on a journey, and they must keep in mind that there are some rules that they must play by during this journey. In order for a person to be successful in this life, and all of this life is a hijrah, where we are migrating to Allah, traveling back to our homeland, traveling back to that land which was our first home, which we were driven out of. That is Jannah, where our father Adam alayhi salam, as a punishment for his disobedience, after Shaytan tricking him and tempting him, was driven out of the Jannah. And so this life is simply a journey. It's not a place to remain. We are going back to the eternal home where we shall remain forever. If we keep in mind the rules that we must adhere to during this journey, we'll be successful, as this journey of life is simply a test. Allah is testing us to see which of us during this journey will follow the rules, give precedence to commandments of Allah over our own desires. In order for a person to be successful during this journey, they must keep in mind these principles. Because if these principles are not adhered to, then the final destination and outcome will be the hellfire. May Allah protect us from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to knowledge which is beneficial, and to actions which are righteous. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a fiqh in the deen, make us deeply understand His religion. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the remainder of however long He decrees that we remain on this earth, that we shall be here holding tight to His deen up until the time that death is decreed for us, that at that time we will go back to our eternal abode of Jannah and meet with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. All of this was the introduction to the real meat of the text, and the following part of the text Sheikh briefly read from the speech of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, in which he says, rahimahullah, once the caravan has departed and the traveler has remained in the a land which is other than his own, and he has been prevented from those things which make him comfortable and which he is attached to in his own homeland, and it causes him to have a different outlook on life, and his thoughts begin to race about the best way for him and the fastest way that he can complete this journey of his, this journey to Allah, in which he is spending the rest of his life. Allah guides him too. He guides this traveler too. Him in whose hand is guidance, and the most important thing which is to be sought after, which is making hijrah to Allah and to His Messenger. Because this is a fardu ayn. This is an individual obligation upon everyone at every time. And no one at any time is to be excused from this obligation. And this is what is required from us by Allah. And this hijrah is of two types. The first is a physical hijrah, physically traveling from one country to another. And the rules of this type of hijrah are well known. But this type of hijrah is not the one we intend to speak about. The second type of hijrah is the hijrah of the heart to Allah and His Messenger. And this is what we intend to speak about. This is the true, the real hijrah. And this is the foundation of that other physical hijrah. And the physical hijrah is only secondary to this one, as this hijrah entails where we come from and where we are going. So a person is making hijrah with their heart from the love of other than Allah to loving only Allah. And from the worship of other than Allah to worshiping Him in Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from fearing other than Him, hoping for other than Him, trusting and relying upon other than Him, to hope to fearing Allah, hoping only for Allah and depending and relying only on Allah. So this hijrah, Shaykh said in conclusion, Habibullah ta'ala, and this was the first part of the chapter to come, which we will study in our next class next week, bi'idhnillah ta'ala. Shaykh said, briefly in concluding, this hijrah is one of traveling to Allah by worshipping Him and Him alone, and traveling to or migrating to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam by following His guidance and not the guidance of anyone else. So we seek the aid and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in doing so successfully. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.